Welcome to The Student Sessions, the unedited podcast for students and graduates that tells it like it is and addresses the issues that are important to you today and every day. Brought to you by Greyhair Media and hosted by Tonya Galati.
Hi, and welcome to The Student Sessions with me, Tonya. Today I'm joined by Naomi and Yong Pian from the University of Lincoln. Naomi is an advertising and marketing undergraduate about to enter her final year of study. Naomi is a South African immigrant who, upon arriving, was soon after placed in care due to her fraught home situation. Since leaving care, Naomi has been independently taking care of herself and trying to get her degree. Naomi utilises all of her past trauma and difficult situations to help those around her. She is passionate about race equality, diversity and inclusivity, as well as affecting community change. Yong Pian is a postgraduate studying events management at the University of Lincoln. She was born in China and can speak four languages, including Chinese, English, French and Cambodian, and has been a hip-hop dancer for 10 years. After studying and working overseas in Cambodia for 2 years, Yong Pian decided to jump out of her comfort zone to begin her master's in the UK. Despite travelling and volunteering in 14 different countries, she still faced culture shock in the beginning. Recognising considerable diversities among the cultures of the world, Yong Pian began applying her critical thinking skills to individual variation and feminism in society. Hi Yong Pian, hi Naomi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi Tonya.
Yeah, good, thank you. Welcome both of you to the Student Sessions. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Let's start by hearing a little bit more about you both and your journey to university. Naomi, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually from South Africa. So I've only lived here for about 6 years now. So I came in late year 10, early year 11. And after that, I went to college. And then after that, I went to university. So in college, I studied a business diploma. And then I came to university and now I study advertising and marketing.
Great. And are you the first in your family to go to university, Naomi?
Yes, I am.
Always you wanted to go to uni?
It was something that I thought I would have. I thought I was groomed to go to university based on the fact that a lot of people when I was younger always emphasized how I always was in my book. So I thought it was something that it was natural for me to do. However, when I told my mom that I was going to university, she was very surprised. I don't know if she didn't think that I would do it or because she never spoke of it. She never encouraged me to go. She never discouraged me to go. It just wasn't something that we spoke of. It was her priority was just that I finished high school because that's something that she never did. So I think going to university was just sort of the cherry on the top for her.
Great. Okay. And Yong Pian, tell us a bit about your journey to university.
Yeah, sure. I'm Yong Pian Tai from Guangzhou, China, and I'm a TEDx talk speaker 2019. Now I'm studying MSc Events Management at the University of Lincoln. So before my master's study, I have studied abroad and worked in Cambodia for 2 years since my bachelor's degree is Cambodian language and literature. However, at the time, I felt like that I got too comfortable, and so I decided to jump out of my comfort zone, travel from China to UK to begin my master's study. And I can speak four languages, including English, French, Cambodian, and my native languages, Chinese, including Cantonese and Mandarin. Besides, I'm a hip-hop dancer for 10 years. And I'm not the first person in my family to go to university. And from my middle school, I have found out that my dream university, which is my bachelor's degree university, Guangdong University of Foreign Studies, because I feel like I really like learning English and would like to learn a less known language than it comes up with Cambodian language. Since my university is the top three universities in my city at that time, I make quite a lot of effort during that period. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just want to say, both of you, you've done incredible things already. And I think to relocate to the UK and hear about some of the things that you've achieved, I just think is phenomenal. Today's theme is diversity, which is a really hot topic right now. Before we get going and we kind of explore that a little bit more, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So Naomi, could you define for us what we mean by diversity?
So to me, diversity means that in any space that you're in, people from different backgrounds or communities are represented. So that doesn't necessarily just extend itself to race. It could just be your socioeconomic background, your abilities. So that means disabled and abled bodies, people of different sexual orientations and gender representations. It's just about having a sense of everyone can see themselves in the room that they're in.
Great. Okay. And Yongpyeong, have you got anything to add to that? Because I think different people have different definitions of diversity. So what does it mean to you?
Well, I totally agree with Naomi, which is a very good explanation of diversity. And for me, I think diversity is to get to know different cultures while at the same time telling people in other countries about my culture. For example, I have done an ISAC volunteer program in Czech Republic. My responsibility is to share Chinese culture and give presentations to 5 different schools and small villages. The age of them is around 6 to 15 years old, and I find it really surprised that many of them haven't heard about China before or don't know where it is, or maybe some misunderstandings about China. So I feel like I got a responsibility to share the right culture to them and at the same time learn about their culture.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. So let's explore diversity a little bit more then in terms of the context of your own careers and experiences. If you could explain, how has diversity explained a role in both of your careers to date and contributed to who you are today?
I think the diversity definitely plays an important role in my careers and contribute to who I am today. And I have traveled to 14 countries so far. Every time when I went to different countries, I have something new in my mind and broaden my horizons towards the world. And I would say it becomes one of the most important advantages and unique selling point of my CV when I apply for jobs, especially for international companies. Meanwhile, I also think it helps me to become a much more outgoing and open-minded person. I'm open to any opportunity around me and try to learn as much as possible. So my global skills have definitely been improved.
I echo a lot of what she said. To me, diversity has always played a role in my life, especially as a Black woman. I just feel like I have no choice but to be aware of how diverse my surroundings are, because it will directly impact the way I navigate that space. In my career, especially now that I've completed my placement year, the lack of diversity has been a bit disappointing in the workspaces that I've been in. And in a sense, it was a bit dehumanizing not being able to see other people that look like you, or other people that are able to relate to you, or people that are even open to your culture. So that sort of consistent feeling that I've had to deal with has made me to be more confident in myself more, because even if someone doesn't fully understand my culture, I don't feel scared sharing it, even if it isn't very Western and some of our practices aren't very Western or very unorthodox in the Western eye. I feel confident sharing my culture. I feel confident sharing my heritage. Even something as simple as speaking my native tongue sometimes can be a bit overwhelming to do in a very non-diverse space, and it just made me become more trusting of myself and trusting more of my abilities without having to seek validation from other people.
Both of you just come across so kind of confidently. Have you always been like that, Naomi?
No. So this is something that you have to work on, just like any muscle. I think confidence is one thing that you have to work on. Particularly for me, I'm here alone. So I am a care leaver. So I take care of myself in like financially and in all other aspects of my life. So I have to be trusting of myself, and I have to be trusting that I'm making the right decisions for myself, because ultimately no one is taking care of me. That helps my confidence. And also, I'm from a very diverse culture. I speak, like, in South Africa, there are 12 official languages. So you come across many different types of people. And because of that, I've been able to interact with different kinds of people. I'm able to have different conversations. I'm open-minded to other cultures, and that boosts my confidence because I don't feel like I'm boxed in into one social circle or one social space. So like, you just have to expose yourself to different cultures, be open-minded, and just go into it with an open heart as well.
And Yongpyeong, have you always been confident, or is that something that's developed over time?
Well, I think it developed over time. I can give an example about myself. I had a TEDx talk last year, and the topic is be brave and speak out, find your own voice in a different culture. So although I have traveled to 14 countries and studied and worked overseas for 2 years, I still face a cultural shock when I first arrived in the UK. I was not confident enough of speaking English in front of others at that time, and sometimes would even be cold-shouldered by the shopkeepers. And I'm quite embarrassed to tell others that I couldn't understand their English sometimes. So at the time, I decided to keep silent. However, I have changed my opinion. At the time, when we were doing a group project, I didn't say anything in the discussion. Then a teammate came to ask me about after the meeting and said, "Are you agree with what we decided? If you disagree, you have to tell us because your opinion is very important to us." And at that time, I feel like that my opinion did really matter. And later, I have a more courage, and every time I would like to speak out my opinions, sometimes I still can't believe that I have done a TEDx talk. And today, I'm here to share my opinions about diversities. I think I have found my own voice in the UK culture.
That's brilliant, Yongpyeong. Thanks so much for sharing that example. Naomi, how would you describe your current thinking about diversity, and how has your thinking changed over time?
So at first, I would say in my earlier sort of young adult life, I only focused on race because race seemed to be the only major playing factor. But now that I've been in a workplace where it was very male dominated, I've now realized that sexism can also play a big role in my life. And that's not to say I wasn't aware of it, it's just that race plays more of a bigger role in my life than sexism. But also recently, well, not recently, but in first year, I discovered that I had a learning difference. So I have dyscalculia, which means I'm not that great at maths, and I do really struggle with it. So now the diverse or the workspaces that I go into have to be inclusive of people that have learning differences, and that's just something I'm really cognizant of. So it's more of a grander idea now. It's not just race, it's also about the gender, and also how are you treating your employees that aren't able in other aspects of their life than they are in other aspects. So it's just about being more inclusive. I'd say my view on it is more inclusive. It's not just binary now.
And what about you, Yongpyeong? Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I totally agree with Naomi. For me, before, my current thinking about diversity is about culture and about different genders and about different race. And the things that happened recently make me really realize that the diversity is really important in the society, and we should give enough respect and attention to different kinds of culture or different gender or different race. Yeah, that's my opinion.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, just
to sort of add to that, I also have a very large group of friends that identify as part of the LGBT community. And although I don't identify as that, it's also very important to me that a workplace also holds space for them, because they tell me about how hard it is for them to find jobs, especially if they're trans. So that's also something that I've been cognizant of in terms of diversity.
Great, thanks for sharing that, Naomi. Could you provide us with an example or examples of how your education so far has incorporated diversity in the classroom? I'll start with you, Naomi, on that one.
So, unfortunately, I can't think of a specific example of when I felt like I was in a diverse environment since I've been in the UK. But in South Africa, it's very diverse in terms of everyone there. You can see yourself in everyone. It's a very hard topic to divulge into because the UK has a lot of work to do in terms of incorporating diversity and inclusivity in any sort of environment. I am very cognizant of the fact that a lot of universities and a lot of educational organizations are now moving towards being proactive in being diverse and being inclusive, but I've never experienced that. So I can't, unfortunately, I can't give you that example.
Okay. Now, Yongpyeong?
Well, I think my university has made great effort on the diversity. We have a global launch, which has held global events such as the Global Weeks, including different culture, food festival, international job opportunities fair, etc. During the lockdown period, there is a coffee and catch-up events twice a week, which encourage international students and British students together to share their own cultures, such as some festivals and foods. And in my course, there are students from different countries, and I'm studying MSc Event Management, and we have to work together to organize an event which has improved the diversity and collaboration among different cultures.
And also, just kind of going on from both of the points that you've just raised there, within the classroom, obviously, you know, you've got to do group work, you've got to work with students from different backgrounds. Has that, Naomi, kind of given you that element of diversity? And I know, you know, having diversity of thought and thinking in the curriculum is something that is quite topical, but just outside of that and kind of being able to connect with people from different backgrounds, have you found education has enabled you to do that?
Well, in that sense, yes, because you have people that are coming from down south, people that are coming from up north, people that are coming from the Midlands. So everyone has a different way of thinking. Some people come from big cities, some people come from little villages. So in that sense, yes, it has, in terms of understanding that we all have different ways of working, different work processes, and how we all come together as a group to create a concept into something that is tangible or material. So yeah, I guess, it has been sort of diverse in that sense.
So what do you see as the most challenging aspect of a diverse working environment, Yongpyeong?
Well, I think the most challenging aspect is the way of thinking and some invisible norms. For example, when I work with colleagues from different countries, we probably have different kinds of thinkings or behavior. Some will be more careful, let's say strict, while others may be quite open-minded. Also, some culture have the norms of speaking out their opinions after the previous one finish in order to show high respect, while others might recommend to chip in whenever they want to talk about their opinions in order to create an interaction. And what's more, I think language is a very huge challenge. When English are the most popular languages, for example, in the UK, some international students or employees may not be fluent enough in English, and especially when they talk about some professional words or slangs, it's really difficult for an international person to understand. However, I think this kind of idea exchange can trigger a spark explosion. From what I mean is that it can broaden our horizons and generate more creativity and innovation.
Naomi, do you agree? Have you got anything to add?
Yes, I would agree on the language aspect because as fluently as I speak English, it actually isn't my first language. So just like Yongpyeong, when I first came to England, I found it really difficult to understand accents. It wasn't even the fact that I couldn't understand the language, the accents, and that created a language barrier. But I'd also say I've seen that one of the most challenging aspects is the fact that organizations are wary of diversity and inclusion, but they have a very binary way of looking at it. It's very black and white, and there's no nuance to the conversation. So they might just look at it from, we need X amount of women to have a diverse environment, or we need X amount of people of color to have a diverse environment, but they don't take into consideration how that can be seen as tokenism or any of those other things. So it's just about educating yourself, opening yourself to other cultures, and also inviting those people to have a seat at the table. So it's not just one person leading the conversation, it's more of a collaboration, and everyone can have a chance to speak.
And how, Naomi, have you handled situations where colleagues were not accepting of another's diversity or just didn't understand?
Well, I'd first just ask them why they were so rigid in their thinking. Was it just because they were not brought up interacting with other people of different cultures? Because, you know, the way that you are brought up can really impact the way that you navigate the world as an adult. But also just explain to them some of the experiences I can't speak to, for example, like the LGBT, but I explain to them that I have friends and this is what they relate to me. These are the resources that have educated me. These are things that you can do to educate yourself. And I don't look at it as something to be shunned, or we should throw shame at the person or throw tomatoes at them. You know, other people are unconsciously or subconsciously ignorant, and they've never been exposed to having very diverse conversations. So I don't approach it in a sense of aggression or hate. It's just, hey, this is a different way of thinking that you might be interested in if you ever do come across someone of that background. It's just with love.
Yeah, and as you said there, actually, for some people, it's kind of the unknown, isn't it? It's something new, you know, kind of maybe where they've grown up. Yongpyeong, what do you think it means for an organisation to have a commitment to diversity? What would that look like for you?
Well, I think it means that the organisation should be inclusive and respect students or employees from different countries and provide the equal rights and benefits to the students and employees. When there is an unfair incident such as discrimination, the organisations should take action to deal with this problem seriously and create an equal and healthy atmosphere in the internal environment. Also, when there is a recruitment, I think the organization should offer equal opportunities to candidates from different countries. When I apply for a job, many organizations will say they don't want to sponsor a visa for an international student, then reject to give the offer to me. I think this is not fair because I believe that I can contribute greatly to the organization with my multicultural background and even bringing some international businesses.
And just on the flip side of that, I guess, Naomi, what is your vision of an organization that fully embraces diversity and inclusion? What does that look like?
That would look like I said earlier, just having everyone have a seat at the table and having everyone voice their opinion. I'd also say it's about creating a safe and affirming environment. So when people do feel uncomfortable speaking up about their experience in their identity, like Yongpyeong said, as an international student, she might feel wary about talking about other things because of her English skills or anything like that. It's just about creating that environment where that thought isn't even something that we should even acknowledge because the environment is so safe and affirming. I'd also say it's about continuously doing the work and educating yourself because the world and the social and political framework that we're in changes. So it's just about understanding that as the world changes, your ideas and your ideology also have to change in the business context in terms of international students, visas, anything of the sort. It's just about being cognizant and being intentional about creating a diverse and inclusive environment and sticking to it.
So one of the things that we try to do on the student sessions is also show that not everything, you know, is always hunky-dory, and actually there are other sides to the story. So what I'm just keen to explore a little bit about is the challenges that you have faced and how you have overcome them. So I'll come to you first, Naomi, and then to Yongpyeong.
I'd say I've faced a lot of challenges. Like a most recent challenge that I faced was ableism. I was like let go of a job role because I had the learning difference that I had. And then I had a job role where I was one of few women and it was very male dominated. And because of that, my opinion was always undermined, and it just always was presented as you don't know what you're talking about. We know better than you. So I would just say that how you overcome those challenges is to affirm yourself. You look at what you've done, you look at what you've achieved as an ethnic woman, as someone that's come from a marginalized background. You being a first gen uni student is something to applaud. You being a care leaver is something to applaud. You continuously doing the work is something to applaud. So you look at what you've done and you applaud yourself, you validate yourself, and you don't take what people say personally if it's not personal. Some people just aren't versed in having constructive communication. They don't like having critical conversations that are conducive. So you don't take it personally. You just validate yourself. You have a support system outside of work as well that will validate you. And yeah, I'll just say try to be as cognizant of your emotions and your mental health along that journey as possibly as you can, because it can be greatly affected.
Thank you. Yongpyeon?
Well, I would like to give an example. And I think some job description, when I apply for jobs, some job descriptions specifically only recruit male. For example, when I apply for translator position after my bachelor's degree graduation, many companies only recruited men because they consider men are more resilient and productive. I think this is completely unfair, and I think it shouldn't be like this. So at that time, I ignored the job description of demanding only for men and submit my application to them with my cover letter, demonstrating my strengths and how I can bring benefits to this position and the organization. So at last, I got a translator job. I think when we face discrimination, such as like gender discrimination in the workplace, we should speak out our own opinions and tell the employers that this is not the right thing to do, and speak out our strengths as a woman and tell them how can we contribute to the company.
Yongpyeon, I love that. You're such a force to be reckoned with, that you just applied anyway and kind of got the job. I think that's absolutely brilliant, and you know, good for you. I'm mindful that we're coming to the end of our time together. Before you go, I'd like to ask you both what piece of advice you would give to our listeners who are about to start employment or studying in an environment that either has lots of diversity or not very much. So either or, really.
So personally, this is something that I'm always aware of. Whenever I apply, I always look at the diversity within the company. And I feel like how diverse the company is just shows how they will treat me as someone that is a person of color and a woman of color at that. If your workplace isn't particularly diverse, I would say create a safe space outside of work where if you do face microaggressions, if you do face macroaggressions, you're able to leave that at work, document what you are facing or what you're dealing with at work. Even if it's very diverse, it's important to document your work journey. I would also say don't internalize any of the negativity that you may face because of your identity. So if you are a woman that's being discriminated against because you're a woman, don't internalize that, because that isn't your stuff. That's the other person's stuff to deal with. And yeah, I'll just say keep being strong, keep being resilient, and just seek out spaces that welcome you and hold space for you.
And just on the flip side of that, Naomi, what about for students who are going into a study environment? So they're just about to start university and they're going into an environment where there's lots of diversity and they're not used to it and they kind of don't know how to be. Kind of, what would you advise them?
Oh, I would say just start small. So let's say there's lots of different societies. I'll say just start with one society, mingle with that, mingle with the culture, get accustomed to speaking to people that aren't of your culture or aren't of your social circle. And then with that, you're able to understand how to have conversations that you might be uncomfortable with. And then you move on from there, but also just be open-minded about whatever you may be receiving, because just because you haven't personally experienced a discrimination or an injustice that someone else has, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So just be mindful of how you talk to those people. Just be wary of how your words really do matter, and just be open-minded and just be very loving in the way that you interact with people.
Fabulous. And Yongpyeong, what advice would you give?
Well, I totally agree with Naomi, because for the international students or employees, we need to be proactive to talk about our opinions to others. When we have something don't understand, that is okay. Ask the people around you. There are always some kind people around you. What's more, when you face some unfair incidents, please do report them to the HR or manager or even CEO, because if you don't report, the problem will never be solved. After all, diversity can bring considerable creativity and innovation, which can further develop the organization.
We've come to the end of our time together, but I just want to say, like, I'm in awe of both of you. Honestly, you are sensational, and I just think you are really, really great candidates who could offer value to kind of any employer. And just to quote Naomi, I for one kind of applaud you and everything that you've done. I think you are really amazing. Thank you very much for joining us on the student sessions today, Naomi and Yongpyeong.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to share my story, and I hope it can help.
The University of Lincoln was awarded gold, the highest standard possible in the National Teaching Excellence Framework, an independent assessment of teaching quality in UK higher education. The award reflects the university's exciting teaching, great support for students, and excellent employment outcomes. Lincoln is ranked in the UK top 20 in the Garden University Guide 2020. The institution is known for a pioneering approach to working with employers, which has been recognised with a Lord Stafford Award and Times Higher Education Award. Among their most recent graduates, 96% were in work or further study 6 months after finishing their course, with more than 80% in graduate level roles. More than half of the university's research is just to be internationally excellent or world leading. And to our listeners, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode, and do join us again on the Student Sessions.
Thanks for listening to the Student Sessions, brought to you by Greyhair Media and hosted by Tonya Galati. Never miss an episode by subscribing, and if you like what you've heard today, why not leave a review, and please tell your friends. We'll see you at the next session.